Handling emotional flow. Our emotions are functional. They can only be understood if we grasp their nature as emotion, bioelectric motion. Our emotions are actually bioelectric currents. They are not, as modern psychologists believe, part of thought. The emotional body was known to parapsychologists, psychics, and bioenergy healers since times immemorial. It is part of our ethereal body, a shining fluid shell that surrounds our physical body, a few inches away, transparent and invisible. Humans for the psychic are eggs. The form of the ethereal body is egg-like and wobbling, always in dynamic exchange with the environment, a dynamic synapse for osmotic exchange between the energies that surround us and those that are contained in our individuated shell. Understanding the energetic and flowing nature of our emotions challenges us for learning about life. The most essential characteristic of energy is that it flows, that it moves, that it cycles. Its movement is circular and not linear, spiraled and not one-dimensional. The DNA is a spiral, but not one that extends on one dimension, but that climbs at every cycle one step higher in evolution. The DNA is a very good metaphor for life as a whole and also for our emotions. Our emotions recycle. They are not linear and they are not static but dynamic. Their predominant characteristic is change. I express this truth by speaking of the kaleidoscope of emotions. When blocking one emotion, you block them all. Let me explain more in detail why this is so. The most typical about emotions is that one emotion, after a culmination point occurs, changes into another. As a whole, they form a dynamic kaleidoscope. Once we understand the bioenergetic nature of emotions and the fact that they constantly cycle, we will become aware that it is unhealthy to keep stuck in one emotion and impede it from changing. We will then also see that it is dysfunctional to suppress one emotion, or even worse, to interchange one emotion for another by repressing the one we find too queer by another that we find more acceptable. Let us have a closer look at the etymological roots of these words, emotions and expression. When I write emotion and expression, I get closer to the truth because language is often significant. An emotion is a movement out of something and into something else. An expression describes the fact of pressing, squeezing something out. Wilhelm Reich, as perhaps the first Western physician, saw the linguistic truth as well as the energy truth of emotions. He spoke, at that time still writing in German, of an Ausdrucksbewegung, a movement of pressing or squeezing something out. What is it that is squeezed out and from where? It's bioenergy, and it's squeezed out, or, to use a better term, irradiated from the cell plasma into the aura and from there into the whole of the universe. We are light bulbs, in fact. The essential characteristic of emotion, thus, is that it is but the continuous movement of the cell plasma itself. Pleasure-inducing sensations cause an emotion of the protoplasm originating from the nucleus and emanating toward the periphery, while painful sensations or fear rather cause a contraction of the system, and thus a movement of the sensation from the periphery toward the nucleus. Reich concludes that as a result of these expansion and contraction movements in the plasma, responding to the nature of the incoming emotional stimulus, we can talk about two basic emotions: lust, which is expansive, streaming from the nucleus toward the periphery, and fear, which is contractive, returning from the periphery to the nucleus. We can as well put it in simpler terms and conclude that emotions are how we perceive the natural flow of the vital energy in our organism. Anger or sexual desire are centrifugal forces from the cell nucleus toward the periphery of the cell and beyond. We can say that they have a bioelectrical function of discharge. Vice versa, the emotions that are centripetal, such as fear, contract the system and thus charge the system bioelectrically. It is only because modern science is blind to the bioenergy function within the organism that it is not able to measure and was not able to develop devices to measure the bioelectric charges and discharges that emotions cause to happen within our cell protoplasm. This very movement of the bioenergy, either expansive or contractive, in the cell plasma according to the outflow or inflow of bioelectric currents in the forms of emotions is exactly what makes the living and the difference to non-living matter. This is not just a word game. Language describes organ sensations. This is so because our body movements reflect our inner bioplasmatic movements in a stunning manner. What is conveyed here is not a singular phenomenon, but a whole Gesamteindruck, a sort of holistic, total expression of our being, a Gestalt, an information that cannot be given by verbal language alone. We can thus observe a bipolar directional movement of our vital energy manifesting as expression and impression. Expression is the bioenergetic flow from the nucleus to the periphery of the cell and accordingly from the innermost of the body toward the energetic ethereal energy reservoir of the aura. We talk about the expression of our emotions. We affirm that emotions need to be expressed. Impression is the bioenergetic flow of the ethers from the cell's periphery toward the nucleus and accordingly from the aura into the cellular protoplasm. We talk about impressions when we talk about vivid emotional, sensational or pictorial experiences, the impression a sunset made upon us, the impression that a film left on our memory, or the impression we had of a certain person. After this functional explanation of emotions, it may be more easily understood why the moralizing distinction of emotions in good and bad as part of traditional patriarchal education has done almost irreparable damage to psychosomatic wholeness and as a result fragmented us into split personalities that function in a schizoid manner. Let me demonstrate this fact by an example. Let us look at rage, the quintessentially bad emotion within a civilization that builds on the repression of emotions. In our culture, rage is considered as per se dangerous. People who experience temper tantrums once in a while, be it children or adults, are considered as imbalanced and maladjusted to society. The truth is that they are better adjusted than those who repress their rage. Wilhelm Reich once said that why we have so many wars, violence and genocide in the world is not because we are too emotional, but because we are too little emotional. And guess who is more likely to die from a coronary or a cancer? Those who express their anger or those who suppress their anger? The answer is obvious. Those who suppress their anger. Alternative cancer therapy, as it was brought up in a pioneering approach by Dr. Carl Simonton and Dr. Stephanie Matthew Simonton, focuses on liberating pent-up emotions in an alternative setting where instead of just looking at the specific cancerous tumor, The whole life story of the patient is subject of the therapy. Cancer truly is a problem of cellular communication, much as all of our emotional problems. It was established by Simonton and other alternative cancer therapists that cancer cells, contrary to common myths, are not strong and powerful, but weak and confused, and do not attack healthy plasma, but just overproduce because they contain wrong genetic information. And whereas normal cells communicate effectively with their environment to determine their optimal size and rate of reproduction, the communication of self and self-organization of malignant cells are impaired. As a consequence, they grow larger than healthy cells and reproduce recklessly. Cancer thus can be said to represent an emotional disturbance, just that, and not an incurable fate that needs bullet medicine and expensive chemotherapy. This emotional disturbance is probably brought about by a lack of inner communication on an emotional level earlier in life. In fact, the same principles that are valid for energetic and systemic processes in the cosmos, nature, and our organism are valid for emotions. Here they are again: flow, intelligence, duality, interactivity, and equilibrium. 1. Flow. Our emotions are in constant flow, just as our blood. If you obstruct the blood flow, the blood will coagulate and lose many of its naturally positive characteristics. When blood coagulates inside the blood vessels, we die shortly after, from heart insufficiency. This fact suffices to make us understand how important the flow character is for all of the substances that our body is composed of. The same is true for our emotions. 2. Intelligence. The Tao is within us, not outside. It is within all. It cannot be seen or heard, yet it is omnipresent. In our modern science language, we would speak of the universal intelligence that is creating, sustaining, and animating life and all that is. It is the caring providence that heals us when we are wounded. It is the anticipating knowledge that keeps somebody away from entering a boat that later on was going to sink because the person got some strange feeling shortly before going on that trip. This intelligence is equally present in our emotions. Emotions have their own intelligence. They act and interact with each other in a very intelligent way. Most scientists have not yet noticed this, and that Western science and psychology still are almost blind to emotional wisdom, has to do with our patriarchal past, while since a few decades this picture is changing. The idea of emotional intelligence has entered not only our talk shows, but scientific publications on the highest level. Once we understand that our emotions are intelligent, we will be less inclined to suppress or belittle them. And we may really want to listen to them, as in many cases, when emotions get out of hand, they give us a signal, and these signals are generally important for our personal evolution. As we will see further down, it is not inherent in emotions that they unleash in all directions, but only if we handle them wrongly. Nature has set up our emotional processes in a way that they interact with each other intelligently so as to enrich our lives. If we trust our emotional intelligence, the intrinsic intelligence that is inherent in all our emotions, we are generally more intelligent. With other words, a person will score better in an IQ test if their emotions are non-obstructed and lively than a controlled person with lesser or blocked emotions. While this was not seen by most scientists till about 2 decades ago, this insight is now influencing the way IQ tests are drafted. It is logical that an IQ test that only tests linear or logical intelligence will not be able to adequately describe a person's emotional intelligence because this intelligence is non-linear and holistic. It is a higher logic, or a systems logic, an inductive logic also, and not a mechanistic and deductive logic. People who believe in so-called logical reality are deeply mistaken in that they take the part for the whole. For them, anything that is not to be detected by our five senses does not exist. As a result, they tend to dominate any conversation with left-brain arguments that partly or totally miss the point. In their life, they adhere to a highly reductionist pragmatism that excludes any holistic reality and distills their reductionist beliefs in an arrogant dominator doctrine that is backed up by Darwinism and mainstream science. These people are not only emotionally stupid, but truly dangerous because they are capable of any atrocity, can it only be justified by pure logic. Emotions for them are human weaknesses or just junk, and they are here on the same line of reasoning as biotechnologists who declare all the unused parts of our DNA as junk. Whosoever believes that what has been created by universal intelligence can be junk is suffering from perhaps incurable emotional cancer. In the contrary, emotional intelligence enhances linear logical intelligence instead of interfering negatively with it. Let me give an example. Einstein's intelligence, while he was certainly a brilliant logical thinker, was predominantly emotional intelligence. Einstein in daily life was all but a dry bureaucrat, but in the contrary, a quite eccentric person with many interests, a very good musician, violinist, a charming talker, and a man with a very high level of fantasy and childlike behavior. Einstein came over as an artist or daydreamer, if not a street peddler. Very few would have guessed that he was the greatest mathematician and physicist of the 20th century and one of the greatest scientists of all times. This is so because Einstein trusted his emotions, the emotional nature of his intelligence, and in the universal intelligence in all living. Once we understand the basic functionality of our emotions and their inherent intelligence, we will perhaps stop brushing them off or belittling them as something that only applies for children and females. Many men, in fact, have much more of a problem with their emotions than women and children because of their patriarchal mindset. The best way to block your true intelligence is by blocking your emotions or by denying their very existence. When that happens, namely, what then happens, namely, is that they begin to live their own life and will control you without you being conscious of it. And this causes many problems in life, in health, and in relationships. 3. Duality. Our emotions, like all in life, are reined by the duality principle. They ebb up and they flow down. They increase and they decrease, and eventually they go through a culmination point and then change. Let me demonstrate this again with an example. When you are enraged, your rage will increase until it reaches a culmination point. What happens when rage reaches this point? The astonishing thing is that you will not experience lesser rage then, but no rage at all. Your rage will change into another emotion, for example, joy, or it will completely cease with no other emotion overtaking. You are at peace. Why is that so? This is so because all our emotions are interconnected in what I call a kaleidoscopic succession. A kaleidoscope is a device where the prism is split off by a lens into its basic spectral colors. These devices that many of us know from our childhood were designed like little photographic cameras or glasses, and you could look at any object using the kaleidoscope as a filter. You would then see life in many different colorful shades. This metaphor fits our emotions very well. Our emotions are the basic spectral colors of the light beam of life, which is like a bundled beam of white light. Every motion, by the frequency of the spectral color that it adds onto the beam of the bioenergy, completes the white beam. As you know from optics, the light can only be white if the spectrum is complete. And so it is with our emotions. Your vital energies are only complete and strong if all your emotions are active and contribute their specific bioelectric frequencies to the main frequency of the bioenergy that flows through your organism. When you block one of the emotions, that part of the frequency is lacking or becomes distorted. As a result, your white beam of vital energy will not be really white anymore and thus will be weakened. That is why the duality of our emotions is so important and must be functional if emotions are to flow healthily. 4. Interactivity. Our emotions are interactive in two ways. They interact with each other and they interact with the environment, with other people's emotions, and even with surrounding natural energies such as the weather. Yes, our emotions influence the weather. This is not a superstition, but one of the findings that Wilhelm Reich's organ research has corroborated. Vice versa, the macrocosmic energies contained in the Earth atmosphere and even solar spots influence our emotions. There is nothing really separated in nature. All of us know the disastrous influence negative people can have over even a mass audience. Hitler, when he declared his doctrine of total war, was frenetically applauded by thousands of people, while the speech and many other similar speeches before that led him to that point of victory were filled with emotions and very little or highly distorted intellectual content. Hitler knew that emotions can be transmitted, be they positive, constructive, or negative, destructive. Many people actually use this example for declaring emotions themselves as destructive, which is of course a childish error. If I spoil a pizza by putting too much salt in it, this does not mean that pizza is per se bad food. By the same token, positively inspired politicians use uplifting emotional content for convincing the masses of their good intentions and decided attitude. Well-known examples are John F. Kennedy, Martin Luther King Jr., Mahatma Gandhi, or Nelson Mandela. When we look at interactivity between our emotions, we can observe that this interactivity has two main characteristics. The first characteristic is that emotions are generally exclusive in that they come up in a pure manner and very seldom mixed. When I'm enraged, I am not joyful. When I'm bathing in joy, I'm not exploding of anger. Have you ever seen somebody who was furious and joyful at the same time? The second characteristic is that emotions are replacing each other. When rage has reached its culmination point, it vanishes to either peace, with no other emotion coming up, or joy. It is important to be conscious of this interactive play of emotions because it indicates that we should not violently interfere in emotions or block them, because that will prolong an emotion and really can lead to destructive effects. When I'm enraged and try not to be enraged, this very effort to suppress my anger will at the end enhance it and make it uncontrollable. Five, equilibrium. Emotions naturally are in an equilibrium. None of them dominates the scene. Have you ever seen somebody always joyful or always enraged? This would not only be unnatural and artificial, but virtually impossible to bring about. The only thing we can be sure of in life is that it changes. The same is true for our emotions, for they are a vital expression of life. The reason why many people, especially in our Western culture, are emotionally unbalanced has its cause in the fact that they subscribe to a moralistic life paradigm that makes them judge emotions, trying to suppress those that they judge bad, and at the same time trying to bring about emotions they judge good. This moralistic, judgmental attitude toward emotions is highly destructive. It makes for all kinds of inner and outer strife and war. It makes for destruction worldwide and is at the root of all evil. This is so because interfering in the natural flow of our emotion destroys the natural equilibrium between them and thus inhibits their bioenergetic flow.